the first five words up on the screen as the service began. We just heard them. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. As David and I discussed what I might be able to speak about a few weeks ago, I had this thought: I'd love to wrestle with something that's not just in the regular Anglican lectionary that we follow in the Anglican Church. And I thought, I'd love to wrestle with something in 1 Peter. That's the first letter of Peter in the New Testament, towards the end of the New Testament. And it was in the lead up to Good Friday and Easter, and I thought, the resurrection. And then I thought, actually, David, if you'd let me come twice, I'd love to speak about the resurrection, but I'd love to speak firstly about what Peter says. What does he convey about the death of Jesus? And then perhaps, if you'll allow me, what does he convey about the resurrection of Jesus? That will help us today. The Lord is my shepherd. 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, or the first letter of Peter, is a commentary on those words. 1 Peter is a commentary on the words, the Lord is my shepherd. And we had a very similar line in the reading today. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15. Now, David's words were 5 words long. This is 7 words long. In your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. That's 1 Peter 3:15. In your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. In your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Will you say that with me? In your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. And then we turn it into the way David was speaking, not just the Lord, but my Lord. And we have 9 words. In my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. If you'd like to say that with me, in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. You know, sanctify basically means to set apart, but not to set apart and put over there. To set apart, I sanctify Christ and no other. You know, everything else, no other. I sanctify, I put there Christ as my Lord. In my heart, I sanctify Christ as my Lord. This week I've been introduced to Hidden Hand. I don't know if any of you read the book. I've now got an e-book. It's a book by Clive Hamilton, an Australian journalist, and Marika Olberg. And the subtext is exposing how the Chinese Communist Party is reshaping the world. Is that relevant? It was written in 2020 and a follow-up to an earlier book, a couple of years earlier, called Silent Invasion, which Clive Hamilton wrote about the Chinese Communist Party and its influence in Australia. A couple of us in our Probus men's morning tea last Friday were discussing this topic, and a friend mentioned to me about this book. And so when I got home, I decided I would look it up. I found it was an e-book, and I found that I could download it. And so I started reading, and I'm up to chapter 5. And it's not an easy read. In the meantime, in the last few weeks, I've been reading and rereading 1 Peter, the whole book, to get a sense of what Peter is saying about the death of the Lord Jesus. Remember, Peter was the apostle who, in the 24 hours before Christ's death, denied him three times. How did Peter regard and speak of the death of our Lord Jesus? So I had these things in my mind. China's been in my mind, you know, on and off all my life, I suppose, but I came across a comment by Paul Barnett as I read and read Peter and looked at a couple of commentaries and so on. And Paul Barnett's comment was, the context in which these words appear, that is, the words in 1 Peter, the context in which, who did he write these words to? He wrote to terrified believers facing hostile interrogation. So think of 1 Peter written to terrified believers facing hostile interrogation, amongst others, refugees and so on, but to the exiles, the book opens with and talks about that. How do you say the Lord is my shepherd when you're a terrified believer facing intense and hostile interrogation? So I began to put together in my mind, as I began to write the sermon out, 1 Peter and Christ's death with Christian congregations in China who have to prepare themselves that at any time they might be whisked away by the state police and subjected to hostile interrogation and re-education over years in secret prison camps. Will it happen to us? What we hear has happened to others? They might be asking themselves. A few years ago, I started to watch sermons preached by Pastor Wong Yi of the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu. Now, I don't know how I came across it, but Chengdu is the town in, or city in China where I was born. And it intrigued me because I've often prayed for Christians in China. And Chengdu was very much in my heart. I thought, I'd love to see what's happening in Chengdu now from the gospel point of view compared to when my mum and dad were missionaries there. So I began to listen. And although I didn't understand the Chinese, they had English subtitles, so that was really helpful. Pastor Wong Yi in, what was the time? December the 20th, 2018. Early December 2018. I was actually watching the particular episode in which the congregation was interrupted and the police came in. The police began to ask questions and so on, and then they took away Pastor Yi and other members of the congregation, and later on they took away many more of that congregation, the Early Rain Covenant Church in Chengdu. I've read about it in Forbes magazine, and on a recent Forbes magazine website, an article about the situation of Christians in China, we read, in April 2021, that's exactly a year ago, Radio Free Asia reported that authorities in China are detaining Christians in secretive mobile transformation facilities to make them renounce their faith. The Lord is my shepherd. In my heart I will sanctify Christ as my Lord. Being made to renounce their faith. According to the report, a member of a Christian house church in the southwest province of Sichuan, which is where Chengdu is, said he was held in a facility run by the ruling Chinese Communist Party. He might have been a member of the same congregation, I don't know. of the party's United Front Work Department, working in tandem with the state security police. He was imprisoned for 10 months after a raid in his church in 2018. It was a mobile facility that could just set up in a basement somewhere, was staffed by people from several different government departments. He explained that he was held in a windowless room for nearly 10 months, during which time he was beaten, verbally abused and mentally tortured by staff, eventually resorting to self-harm, throwing himself against a wall. They use really underhand methods. They threaten, insult and intimidate, etc., etc. And so I ask myself, well, what does Peter say to people who might be going through something like this? I ask myself the question, when David wrote those words, "The Lord is my shepherd," was it at the beginning or end of his life or middle or what? He suffered terribly, that man. The Lord is my shepherd. And Peter was writing to people who, some of whom at least, were suffering terribly. How would he help them to stand faithful and firm in their faith in Messiah Jesus, the risen from the dead Lord Jesus? And so Peter begins his letter saying, "Brothers and sisters, you are chosen." And I want you to listen to the words as if Peter is saying them to you. "You are chosen and destined for something better by God." And if Christian faith is true, that must apply to the person in that interrogation as well. You are chosen and destined for something better by God. You have been set aside, sanctified, set aside by God, for God, by the Holy Spirit. Not physically, but you yourself have been set aside for God by the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit now, and the Holy Spirit has set you aside for God. You are to be obedient to Jesus Christ. That's the sort of person you're to be, whether you're being interrogated or not. "I am to be obedient to Jesus Christ because I am," and the words are there, "sprinkled with his blood." I am sprinkled with his blood. Jesus Christ has washed me, or sprinkled me, or touched me with his death. And from now on, I am joined to his death. That's how Peter opens his letter. And as I continued to read, and I'm leading up to verse 18 of our Bible reading, 1 Peter 3:18, but as I continue to read in 1 Peter, I was imagining again these Chinese colleagues, Chinese brothers and sisters of ours, let alone people in other countries as well, and even in Australia in some places. I began to try and turn these words into words that feed my faith, leading up to chapter 3 and verse 18. So as I read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3, I started to write down some of these things. I will stay with Jesus Christ. So imagine yourself just saying that as a conviction. I will stay with Jesus Christ. He wants me to obey him, so I will believe him and obey his word. I will strive for his sake to live a holy life. I will turn away from a futile life. I will love my fellow believers. I will rid my actions and my inner motives of malice, of deceit, of envy of other believers, and of my neighbours. I will be a fellow builder. I'm just picking up things from those first three chapters, you know. I'm going to be a fellow builder because of Jesus. He has sprinkled me with his blood. He has chosen me. He has set me aside, sanctified me by the Holy Spirit for God. So I will live and be a fellow builder with others who have the same passion. I will proclaim his mighty acts. That last verse we didn't sing. I will live lawfully. I will accept punishment, whether I deserve it or not. That's chapter 3 as well. I will live for righteous relationships. This is all 1 Peter. This is what he's saying to these exiles, to these people, some of whom are in dire straits. I will live still for righteous relationships. I will honour my marriage partner. And I will remember, as Des said, I will remember my Lord's suffering when I myself am suffering. Isn't that interesting? When I am suffering, I will remember my Lord's suffering and death. And that word remember is a key word in Scripture, Old and New Testament. It's like a participation in what has happened. I will remember. I will remember my Lord's suffering, and I'm participating somehow, and Peter talks about it in that way too. I'm suffering, but I remember my Lord's suffering because of that is what took hold of me and sprinkled me and made me fit for God by his Holy Spirit. And because the Lord is my shepherd, in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. King David couldn't say, sanctify Christ as my Lord, because he didn't know yet. But now we are Christians, we are believers. We can say, the Lord is my shepherd. And we can say it with that added significance, in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. Let's say those two together. The Lord is my shepherd, in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. And then we come to that verse 18 in chapter 3. My Lord Christ suffered for sins. Once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Commentary by Paul Barnett, he says, verse 18 is one of the most comprehensive statements about the meaning of the death of Christ to be found in the whole New Testament. My Lord Jesus Christ suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh. Maybe you and I are suffering, maybe we deserve it, maybe we don't. Christ suffered. And remember, Peter remembers Christ's suffering because Peter was there. Christ suffered. I saw him. Christ suffered for sins. He died for sins because he died as a substitute. He died in my place. My Lord died for me. He died in the place of others. Which others? The unrighteous. The righteous one died for the unrighteous. He did it once for all. He never ever had to do it again. No one else ever could do that for the world, for everyone. Because it's already been done, and it's been done once, and it's been done for all. There's a uniqueness about it, can't be repeated, and a finality about it. It's for all, once for all, and it's happened. It's a pathway. It's a pathway to God. When Jesus died, it was a pathway to bring us to God, Peter says. And of course, he remembers that verse, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But what an interesting context that Peter puts this in. He suffered once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring us to God, put to death in the flesh. Now, I don't want to talk about the resurrection today, but hopefully next time. I just want you to dwell on those words. When we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we also say, in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. Let's say that. In my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. He was put to death in the flesh. In my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. He suffered for sins. In my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. He, the righteous one, died for the unrighteous. In my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. He died once for all. So in my heart I sanctify Christ as my Lord. He died to bring us to God. So in my heart, I sanctify Christ as my Lord. Amen.